With the help of the Lord, that'll be our subject tonight. We'll continue on. For those that wasn't privileged to be here last night, we spoke on the will, but we spoke on Christ setting a foundation that Christ worked hand in hand with the will of God. He wanted to know and work with and be involved with God's will. And you and I need to have the same mindset, the same desire as Christ had. All right, let's go to Acts, the 22nd chapter. Acts 22, we'll start reading the 10th verse. We need your prayers that the Lord will have mercy on us one more time. This is where, well, let's just read it here. Well, 10th verse, 22 and 10 of Acts. He said, "And I said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, arise, go into Damascus. There it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. When I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came to Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dealt there, came unto me and stood and said to me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. The same hour I looked up upon him. And he said, the God of our fathers had chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will and see that just one and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now why tarriest thou? Arise, be baptized, wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." I would say one of the greatest things for you and I to do in life, as was told here, he said here, "He's chosen thee that thou shouldest know his will." The Lord wants us to know the will of God. He's interested, desires, because that's what's running the church of God. That's what's running the whole earth in a sense. But that is the intimate foundation in a sense of God's church is his will. And he knows what he wants. And he said he's chosen thee. The night every one of us in here has been chosen. We've been chosen to serve God. We've been chosen to know his will, to understand his will. It's not always so easy to know his will, but he wants us to strive, to reach out and to beg and to plead. Lord, I want to know thy will. I want to know what you want in this, how you want it done, where you want me to go. Listen, folks, tonight, there is people out there that need you. They're watching you. They're listening to you. You've got a witness. You've got a testimony. You've got something that can help souls out there. And if you and I know the will, we can be at the right place at the right time to give the right testimony to help somebody make heaven. Praise God. So Lord, help us tonight to know that will. Help us, Lord, to have that testimony. Said thou should be a witness unto all men for what thou hast seen and heard. Every one of us has seen and heard the things of God. We've been a witness. We have been a partaker. We've been involved in. We've everyone got a different testimony, a different calling, a different work that God with his will is working through you and I. Every one of us is different. We've got a different world, so to speak, that we deal with. Brother Larry don't know all that I know. I don't know all Brother Larry knows. But you and I have a different set that we work with day in and day out. And consequently, it's very, very important. It's highly important. I can't put enough importance on it for you and I to know the will, because he's working with you individually with all those souls around us. Those on the jobs. Those in the family. Those in the neighborhood. People going down the street. People we meet in the store. He wants his will. He wants us to know that will and to do that will. And to work that will. To help souls. He died that you might go to heaven. But he wants you to go to heaven worse than you do. And he died that we can know the will of God, but you and I need to have a desire, just like Christ, to want to be linked up to that will. He worked with the Father. He accomplished a lot. You and I will accomplish more knowing and working with the will of God than any other way. Being ship shod, ram shod, and all that stuff ain't going to work very good. But if we'll team up with that one, and we'll cling with him, and say, Father, I want to know your will. Lord, I want to know your will. I'm desirous to know it. I want to know it above all things. What's your will in all this? And I believe the greatest way to know it, and I believe I'm learning this more and more, is to be so consecrated, dedicated, and surrendered to the will of God. That's the way we learn it. It's not our way, it's his way. Brother Abbott, not Brother Abbott, but Brother Murphy Allen was in a meeting one time years ago, and the Lord told him, he said, I want you to go down and preach to him on the street corner. And Brother Murphy said, well, I need some help. I need some singers. I need this, I need that. Well, there wasn't nobody. He said, Lord, I can't do this. He said, I want you to go, son. I want you to go. And he kept working. Brother Murphy got in and he prayed and he got up and he went and the Lord blessed him. Didn't have nobody but Brother Murphy. Listen, when we have God, we have his will. We've got a backing that nobody can work with like he can. He can take us. If we can't sing, we can sing. We might not be able to be the best preacher, but God can so anoint that we can bring out or testify or teach or whatever. And the people listen to us because the Father worketh, hitherto I work as a priest last night. The Lord is there. He's working. So Lord, help us to be Johnny on the spot and do exactly what the Lord wants us to do. Knowing the will of God. I want you to know that will now, Paul. Now then, Paul had a lot of stuff he went through. His life was not easy. But what a blessing it is to us today. What a blessing it was to the Gentiles. What a blessing it was to God itself. So consequently tonight, he went through a lot of things. And he learned and he deepened and he dug and he surrendered and he consecrated all the way to prisons before kings and everything. He went through stripes and boat crashes and so forth. He went through all these things because of the will of God. You and I are going to go through some things because of the will of God. But the blessings that we can be because of what we can learn out of the will of God by the experience that we have. I think I mentioned this the other night. I want to reiterate it. After the Lord told me he was going to take Becky. About 2 weeks later, I was in the kitchen. He told me, he said, your ministry's fixing to make a change. What you're fixing to experience, the grief, the pain, and the anguish that you're going to go through when you lose her, it's going to be a teacher. It's going to help you understand stuff that you never knew before. You can sit back and you can look at people. You can sit back and you can examine people. They're hurting. They're crying. They're wounded. They may go to bed crying. They may wake up crying. They may cry during the night. They may cry on the job. They may cry in the car. They may cry when they're eating. They may suffer intense agony. He said, I want you to understand that. I want you to go through this, child. Your ministry's fixing to make a change, and it's going to add a new dimension to your life. And I become an advocate of the grieving. Become one to get in behind them, to support them, to send them cards, to call them on the phone, or them call me. I spent hours working with them in the last 4.5 years. And why? Because it's God's will for me to do that. He wants somebody to get in there and work with those people. And that's my burden. That's my love. That's my desire. I suffered all I could suffer in my grief to know the pain and the anguish that you all go through when you lose somebody, where when you come to me or I come to you and climb in your bucket with you and you say, I'm going through this, I can say, I understand. That was the sweetest words my comforters told me when I was going through it. I understand, Carl. And they could do for me what nobody else could do. My brother was great. Brother Leslie was great. Different ones was great. But the comforters is the one that was able to get in my bucket and help me over and over. And I want to be able to do that. I'm doing, I feel, the will of God. Now, what is His will for you? Do you know what His will is for you? Are you desirous of that will for you? He wants and has a will for you and I to work with. And he's just like Paul here. Paul went through a lot of stuff, but it was a great help. I'm trying to be a little help to the people around me. Compassionate. You got to have some compassion. You've got to have some mercy. You've got to have some love. You've got to have some understanding. And Paul had that. And other people get that by going through these things. All right, let's go to Matthew, the 6th chapter. Here it is. Jesus is teaching the disciples how to pray. He said 6 and 9 said, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forget our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now then, I want to tag that in with 1 Peter 2 and 19. 1 Peter 2 and 19. And this will hook it back into last night. It said here for 1 Peter 2 and 19, for this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently. But if when you do well and suffer for it, and you take it patiently, this is acceptable to God. For even hereunto were you called. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Now, I touched on part of that last night, or at least quoted it. I didn't really talk on it so much, but quoted it. He left us an example, folks. And that's what I hammered on last night, or tried to. He left us an example of his desire of the will of God to be able to do what he had to do because he had such a short time to work in. He worked hard at knowing. He prayed about it. He begged about it. He worked with the Father. He wanted to be always linked in, knowing the will of God in every move, every soul. He had so much time to do it in, and he wanted to know that will. Listen, folks, tonight, you and I don't know how long we have to live, and we don't know what we're going to go through. So consequently, we need to have the same mindset. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. We have this mindset like Christ, that Father, I want to be hooked in. I want to know, I want to understand your will, because souls are dependent on that tonight. I know I'm going to repeat some of this, but I want to drive a point home. There's souls perishing by the thousands every hour. There's over 6,000 something people die per hour around the world. Do you know how many that is in a day? That's over 150,000 people dying per day around the world. That's a lot of people. That's bigger than some of our cities out here. It's bigger than Shawnee. It's bigger than a lot of towns and places. In the state of Oklahoma, that many people dying per day around the world. And you and I need to be out there doing what we can do. And to do it, we got to be led by the Spirit. We've got to be doing His will. Somebody said, well, I'm not a preacher, but can you make a phone call? I'm not a teacher, but can you send a tract? Can you send a card? Can you do something to help somebody out? God wants to help you and work with you. He wants to give you exactly His understanding of His will. Listen, he said, Paul, I want you to know my will. Jesus, I want you to know my will. And when they coupled up, those two men done a lot of work in a short time. Praise God. You and I may have just a short time. We need to do all we can do. We got some white heads in here. We got some younger, but we got some of us, Brother Rick, that ain't as young as we used to. Brother Larry, you're older than I am. But I'm going to tell you tonight, we can accomplish something when we're hooked up and working with the will of God. So he said, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. The Lord was telling his disciples, I want you to pray this way. If it wasn't important to him, he wouldn't have had us pray this. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. This earth. This earth. The Lord wants us to be interested in doing the will of God in our earthen bodies. Our earthen bodies and our spiritual experience. To be able to do that, desire that. Our Father, I want to do the will. Show me what it is. He says here, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Well, Brother Larry's in my briefcase. Open the lid right there. Now this is actually on Daniel 4 that I read last night, but it'll work in right here too. That man has no power to prevent the full fulfillment of the divine purposes. That man will accomplish, that God will accomplish his design in all things, whatever opposition man may make. That he has absolute control over every human being and over all that pertains to anyone and everyone. That he will overrule all things so as to make them subservient to his own plans. That he will make use of men to accomplish his own purposes. That there is a great and glorious scheme of administration which God is carried out by the instrumentality of men. Now that last statement, that there is a great and a glorious scheme. The Lord has a great plan. You and I need to hook into that plan. There needs to be more people saved in Springfield, Ohio, Dayton, Ohio, Columbus, Ohio, a town of 680,000 people. How many people do we know that's Church of God in that town, Evening Light Church of God, that's saved, that wants to know, how much are we doing to bring about the will of God? He loves people here just like he does everywhere else. He wants people to be saved right in this area just like he does everywhere else. So consequently, he wants you and I want to challenge you tonight to hook into, Father, what is your will for me right now in this time world? I want to do the will of God no matter what it is. If it's a calling, I want to do it. If it's a singing, I want to sing. If it's preaching, I want to preach. I want to teach. I want to go. I want to do whatever you want me to do, Lord. I want to do the will of God. Because, Lord, this is your burden tonight, that God help you and I to be able to go and move at the unction of the Spirit. Doing that will. Are we praying that away? Are we praying thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven? Are we praying that away? All right, let's go to Psalms 143. 143 and 10, I think it is. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Now he said, teach me to do thy will. David here was interested in knowing the will. Teach me. The Lord wants to teach us. He told Paul. All right, let's go to 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians 4 and tie that in because that's where we learn right there. 1 Thessalonians 4 and 1 said, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Now then, this is the will of God, even your sanctification. The infilling of the Spirit of God is the will of God in the Church of God. It's been that way from the very beginning, and it's still that way in 2017. It's not something that is a side place or something. It's an absolute. A brother got up at Myrtle and he made the statement. He said, let's see, what was his, Bert, how do you put that? He said, we must be filled with the Spirit of God. Now one old timer that had more success in sanctification preaching than any in my lifetime was the old General Simons. He was able to bring it out. It was his burden, and he put it out and he put it out. And you know what happened? When he died, a lot of that dropped down. All right, now, you may not like what I'm saying here, but it's the truth. We have not had the altar work. We seem like the very consecration of people seemed like it began to vanish. It wasn't there. The work wasn't getting done. Listen, the same God that led Brother Simmons, that led old Brother Fred Pruitt, that led Brother Murphy Allen, and give them his will, that's the same God that's working with you and I tonight, and he wants you and I to know and to be filled with the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, whereby we can understand and know and do the things that God wants us to do. It's not something we can think about. It's not something we can just pray about. It's something we must do something about. That is surrender ourselves to God. My brother and I, well, my brother and his wife and I, went to a old, I guess you'd call it an old car show. I think it was 17 of them. It was in a museum in Oklahoma City. It was only for a specified time. But these were special cars within the state of Oklahoma by rich people that had taken them and redone them. And I brought this out that Sunday morning that Brother Brandon preached that message. I said, now you can go up to a pretty car and it can look gorgeous. And, oh, I like that. I'd like to buy that. But if I open the hood and there's no engine in there, how many of you want to buy it? That's what makes it go. That's what makes it roar. That's what gets you somewhere. Listen tonight. The Holy Ghost is the engine, so to speak, and it's a must. If you don't have an engine in a car, it ain't worth much. But if you put an engine there, you can go places and do things. A tractor without an engine, a truck without an engine, a boat without an engine. I'm going to tell you, you get a boat without an engine that runs out in the middle of the water, you're in trouble big time. I've been there. It ain't no fun to be out there. And ain't got no gas in the tank. He's sitting there and the engine won't run. It's no fun. I'm going to tell you tonight, for you and I to be able to do the thing, we have got to be filled with the Holy Ghost. This is the will of God, even your sanctification. And he teaches over there in John that he shall teach you all things, praise God. The Holy Spirit is what teaches, illuminates, and iterates, and tells us and helps us to know exactly what he wants us to do. So consequently, you got to be sanctified. Teach me to know thy will. Be sanctified is where you got to start. There's where you've got to get it, right there. And then you're in a place of consecration and surrender. And I want to tell you, it's not just a one-day deal. Listen, folks, this thing goes on the rest of your life. And like I said, now I think I'm just like a limp rag. Lord, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? I just want to do your will. And I'm not setting myself up as an example. I'm not doing that. I want Christ as an example. He was that away too. He was so attuned and desirous of the will of God. And he surrendered and consecrated and done everything he needed to do all the way down to the end. And even when he met the hardest thing of his life, we're going to meet it, folks. We're going to have Gethsemane through our life. And we're going to get down to the end. And the greatest one probably will be our Gethsemane when we're facing death. And when we get there, are we going to be able to say, nevertheless, not thy will, but thine be done. Lord, I want your will. We're going to have to consecrate to death just like Christ did. Amen. You're going to look at it. There's people that don't want to die. A lot of people don't want to die. And we're going to say, Lord, thy will be done. Is it your will to take me? If it is, Lord, have your will. You know if you're through with me. You know if you're ready to take me. I'm surrendered to God. Here am I, Lord, whatever you want. That should be our prayer. But I'm going to tell you, the Holy Ghost can infill you and teach you and help you to understand the will of God. during the night, during the day, on the job, driving down the road, whatever it might be, we can pour our heart out to God, and the Holy Spirit can teach us and help us to understand that will. He does it through the heart. He does it through the word. He does it through songs. He speaks to us, talks to us. He has spoken literally out loud to me where I can hear it with my natural ears. The Lord wants us to have the same prayer. Teach me to do thy will. For thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me. Guide me into the land of uprightness. Oh, tonight. Is that our desire tonight? Are we wanting him to teach us and illuminate us to his will? All right, let's go to Ephesians, the 6th chapter and 10th verse. No, Ephesians 6, 5. I knew that wasn't right. Ephesians 6, 5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Now, let's couple that in. Brother Larry, get me Psalms 40 and 8. And we'll read that. Psalms 40 and 8, please. All right. He's saying here in the 6th verse, 6 and 6 of Ephesians, he said, not with eye servants as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart. When you get a person's heart, you got something. All right, what does it say?
I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart.
I delight to do thy will, O my God. And what now?
Yea, thy law is within my heart.
Yea, thy law is within my heart. Now then, when we have the law written on the fleshly tables of our heart, and when we're desired to do the will of God from the heart, there's where something can happen. When your heart gets involved, if you fall in love with a person, you want to do something. You're interested in that person, whether it be male or female, whether you be a man or woman, whatever, and you fall in love with somebody, you're interested in being with them, spending time with them, talking to them, going places with them, just doing things with them. You want to do that. That's part of it. See, they got your heart. When they got your heart, they got something then. Listen, folks, the Lord wants our heart. He wants our heart, and he knows if he can have our heart, and win our love. It said, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. When he's got that love, then he can work with his will through us and with us. He can show it to us. Oh, I want to know thy will. I want to understand thy will, praise God. All right, so he says, doing the will of God from the heart. Another angle of this is that you enjoy doing it. Boy, now we're going to step on some toes. You know, when you're falling in love with a young lady or a young man, and you love to be with them and so on, well, you just love to do it. You just want to do it. All right, the Lord's the same way. Lord, I love to do thy work. I love to do thy will. I want to do it. I love to do it. It's yours, Lord. I've got the law of God written on the fleshly tables of my heart. I'm going to love to do that law. I'm going to love to keep those commandments. I'm going to love to do what the Word of God says unto me. Listen, a lot of people, they'll go so far with so many things, and then they come to a place, they get to a cross, and they don't want to do it anymore. And the Bible says that. The Lord wants you and I to do it and love to do it. Oh, Lord, I love to do it. Well, I want you to go down there. All right, Philip. Let's use Philip as an example here. Hadn't thought about this. But when Philip, if I remember right in the book of Acts there, he was in a good meeting. He was having a blessed time. The Lord was working. And he told him, said, I want you to go down and preach to the eunuch. Well, he could have said, I don't want to do that. I won't leave this meeting. I told you what happened, Brother Sammons, last night. He just thought he had to be in Monarch, so he shut the meeting down, and he went to Monarch, and he said it's one of the greatest mistakes he ever made. Well, it was good for him to be there, no doubt. But those souls in West Virginia, when God was working at that time and pouring out His Spirit and dealing with souls, listen, the Father worketh, hitherto I work. I want to drive this home too. It's the fact that when He's working, you and I got to work at the same time. So anyway, Philip, he goes down there. And the Lord directed him to the chariot. That man was reading the Bible. And he got up there and he said, knowest thou what you're reading? He said, well, how I know it's that? Let somebody tell me what it is. And so he started preaching to it. He started Jesus, I believe it said. And he preached unto him Jesus. Listen, folks, today, Philip was doing the will of God. He was doing it because he loved God and he wanted to do it. It wasn't fun to leave a meeting, so to speak, and go down. But I got news for you. He got his whole congregation saved. He got a blessing that day. The Lord just caught him up and took him away. And the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. He was doing it because it was the will of God for him to do that. He was led by the Spirit. He was involved. And he wanted to do it from the depths of his heart. And that's what God blessed him with. It may be one soul. But that one soul is worth more than all the world. Just one soul. Oh, but Brother Carl, no. We want to love to do it from the heart. And if we'll do that, God can do something with us. You fall in love with Jesus, I'm going to tell you, He can do something then. And that's why I said love Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. We got to have a love affair. A close, intimate affair with Christ, whereby we've got a connection and a tie-in, whereby He can speak to us in a still, small voice. And we can hear that voice and say, I'm going. What about Abraham and his son? When he went to sacrifice his son, he done it quickly. He done it quickly because he loved God. All right. Let's go to Acts 13. Let's go back to Acts 13. This is talking about King David. And said when he had removed him, he raised up unto him David to be their king. To whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. Now, if the Lord was to testify about us tonight, what would he say? That's a child after my heart. Now, when a man falls in love with a woman, and a woman with a man, especially the man going after the woman, he'll do whatever it takes just about to get there. I drove all night one night from Miami, Florida, all the way to Thera, Missouri, to be with her at breakfast the next morning. She didn't even know I was coming. Had this prod man, older minister with the name of Brother Egbert, kind of prodded me to do it, and I prayed about it and felt led to do it, and I took off. I drove around the clock to get there. I ain't going to tell you what happened later. But it was, I done it because I loved Rebecca. I wanted to be with her. And so consequently, the Lord here, He says, I've got David. He's a man after mine own heart. Brother Leslie gave me this scripture years and years ago. Which shall fulfill all my will. This is just backing up what I've been saying. When He has your heart, then we're interested in fulfilling that will. I'm not saying we won't make any mistakes, but if we do, we're just going to get out and say, Lord, I made a mistake here. Help me. You know, I want to do it right now, Lord. Help me. If I got to humble my heart, if I got to confess, if I got to ask forgiveness of something, if I messed up some way, I'm not talking about sin now, but just a misjudgment and so forth. Sister Ruth Murphy was an old-time minister. I don't know how many of you knew her. But she was coming home one night, and she lived in Joplin or Webb City 1. And she was coming home, and she was coming through Joplin, and the Lord spoke to her and said, I want you to go to the hospital. Well, Lord, I don't know anybody that's in a hospital. I want you to go to the hospital, child. I don't know anybody. She went on by the hospital and went on home. And she got home, and in a few minutes she got a call. And I believe either one of her relatives or one of her dear friends was in the hospital dying. And before she could get there, I believe they died. Or almost something. Anyway, the bottom line was, she felt like she messed up. She had to repent of that. The Lord gave her His will, but she didn't do what the Lord told her to do. She missed a valiant, golden opportunity to work with somebody. So Lord, help us tonight. That'll fulfill all of my will. Now, David was not perfect on the moral line, but he done excellent on everything else. When it come to doing the law of God and treating people and cleaning things up and so forth, David was a good man of that. And so that's what he's saying here. The son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Could he tell people, he'll do my will. I can use him. I can use her. I can get something done. Well, I got 10 over there. They're just kind of laying around doing nothing. But I got 2 that's workhorses. Get them. Let's go. I want to get it done. And away he goes. He begins to take those people and begins to work with those people and bless those people. I'm going to tell you, ain't nothing can stand in the way of God. When you and I have Him to our backs and Him leading us forward, we've got a power source and a lead that cannot be denied. All we got to do is hook in and say, Lord, I want to know Your will. All right, 7th chapter of John. And about the 16th verse here, 7 and 16 of John. Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but His that sent me. If any man will know His will, no, if any man will do His will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. Now, God's doctrine is very important to Him. This is a very serious scripture right here. The doctrine of God is pure. The doctrine of God is holy, righteous, godly. It's good. It's encouraging. It's strengthening. It's everything that we need. It's for reproof. Well, He says here, He said, if any man will do His will. Now, why would the Lord need a man to do His will for him to give Him the doctrine? All right, another scripture said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. For a while, I thought that only meant heaven. But one day, the Lord gave me some inspiration, helped me to see that that scripture applies here just as much as the other side. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. He that doeth, if any man will do His will, he shall know of the doctrine. Blessed are the pure in heart. God is not going to reveal Himself to just anybody but those that love Him and are pure. Because He's got to have a pure person to work with. He can't be in a defiled body or with a defiled spirit. He's got to have a clean vessel. He's got to have somebody that has prayed, repented, and done away with the things that need to be done so He can move in and set us housekeeping, so to speak, and do what needs to be done. And when He does that, and when He's reaching out, and when He's begging for the Holy Ghost, and when He's filled, and He's reaching out, and God will teach Him, show Him, and enlighten Himself to Him, that's my child. Listen, folks, He wants you to know Him. He wants you to understand Him. He wants you to be involved with Him. He loves you. He died for you. And He wants to do everything He can do to have you to have a relationship with Him that's closer than anything in the world. All right, now then, His doctrine. The only way He's going to work, and there's a lot of people out there said, well, I know the doctrine of God, and they're living horrible lives. I was in Wichita one time. Sister Belinda Simon's father had passed away. Now, Sister Belinda's father was a well-known minister in that area. He was the first radio preacher, black radio preacher in that area. And he done a fantastic job. He was well known and well loved and respected, what I understood. Well, anyway, the pastor of this Baptist church that I went to, he was acting different. Now, I don't mind having a homegoing and a celebration and so forth of somebody's death, but he was just acting a little strange. I thought there's something wrong here. And so the congregation told me they was watching me and laughing at me at my reaction to this man. And I was stunned. I'd never seen anything like it. So later, when they got me to myself, so to speak, they said, Brother Carl, said, do you want me to tell you what was wrong with that man? I said, yeah, something was wrong. I didn't quite know. I never got close enough. He said he was drinking. Said he would get drunk on Saturday night and they would catch him and put him in jail and his congregation had to go bail him out on Sunday morning where he could preach to him. God don't reveal his doctrine to a man like that. He don't reveal himself to a man like that. Oh, tonight, God wants us to be interested in doing his will. And if we're interested in a pure life, if we're interested in a surrender life, if we're interested in giving ourselves to God, he can work with that. And if you and I don't get everything just right, he can easily tweak it and say, no, this is where my will and my doctrine is right here. This is my doctrine. Maybe we just get a little bit off. I'm not talking about preaching something wrong. I'm not talking about that. But maybe we don't get it quite right at first. And if he's got our will and we want to know that will, he will show us that doctrine. He can work so easily with us because we're just given to God. And he can take that and teach us. Oh, the ministers spend hours. Heard them talk and preach it. How they've got down and 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, they're praying and they're fasting and Lord, show me the church of God. Lord, show me consecration. Lord, show me divine healing. Lord, show me this doctrine and that doctrine. And we just spend hours doing that. Well, the reason is because we want to know his will and we want to do his will, and then he can work with that will because he's got our will. He's got our will. And when he has that, it's my doctrine's not mine, but his has sent me. The bottom line is he's trying to get people to look back to God and get off of all this Jewish mess that they've had for years, and he's pointing it to God. I want you to look to God. There's where the doctrine is. It's not in this Jew and this scribe and this Pharisee, but it's in God. His doctrine, and I want to show it to you, but you're going to have to want to do the will of God for me to open it up to you and reveal something so precious, so intimate, something that we have set in place that is good for all the ages of time. Oh, tonight, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God, whether I speak of myself, he'll know it. God will show it to him. He'll teach it to him. How much of the doctrine do we want to know? How much depths? How deep do we want to get? The Lord wants us to get just as deep as we can get. We can't go deep enough in God. We can't be knowledgeable enough in the things of God. He said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Tonight, are we interested in doing the will of God? Have we told him that? Are we anxious to do that? Are we doing it from the heart? Lord, teach me thy will. I appreciate your time, your attention, your prayers tonight. Pray for me. I want to do his will. Do you?